Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. This is Tim Hayes here for Michael and Jeannie holding the space and hoping that one or the other or both of them will join us momentarily. So I will do a brief intro and keep my ears open for a change in the sound and hope that what we're getting is you're able to hear me and Michael and Jeannie join us soon. We're here to help support people in learning and applying the ancient Aramaic art of forgiveness, the science of forgiveness, the tool of forgiveness. And it's nothing short of totally life-transforming when one applies this tool to anything unlike love in their energy system. And we have a support group in Woodstock, Illinois. It meets on Tuesday nights. And most of the times I open that group and say, I just want to remind people that this work is about learning and applying practical tools to transform the quality of my life, my relationships, my life experience, my energy, my physical energy, my emotional energy, every aspect of my life. And sometimes we end up talking about it, spending a lot of words, and it can seem as though it's a philosophical or a scientific or a religious discussion. But it really is about just this, learning a practical set of tools to apply to my life so that my life is more loving, more joyful, more creative, more peaceful, and growing and expanding and giving me the power to extend all of those qualities in my life to every person, place, and thing I interact with. And that's what this work is about. So do we have Dr. Michael Rice on the phone?
Hey, Dr. Tim, this is
Michelle.
No, I'm
afraid not, Tim.
Uh-oh.
Dr. Tim?
I heard somebody that sounded like Dr. Rice. I'm afraid not. Michelle, are you there?
So can you hear me, Tim?
Yes.
You can.
Yes, Michael, I can
hear
you.
It's a miracle. My phone says that it's not working, so that's a miracle. How awesome is that? I also heard Michelle's voice in there.
Yes, I heard her pipe in, too.
Yeah,
I'll turn it over to Michelle and you.
All right. Why don't we start from the top? Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today is March 5th, 2014, and we're here to learn about and take opportunities to practice forgiveness. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, delighted. Thank you. It's awesome to be here. It's a blessing to have the participation of people from all over the globe in this willingness to learn the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness. And for people to recognize, you know, James way back 2,000 years ago in the book of James, Yeshua's brother says, stop your denial. And Now, one of the things that this non-being mind of ours can do is it can make 1,000 excuses for why it's upset. Well, I'm upset because you did this. I'm upset because you didn't do this. I'm upset because you said that. I'm upset because you didn't say that. I'm upset because you didn't write to me. I'm upset because you did write to me. I'm upset because you didn't talk to me. I'm upset because you did. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And when we come out of our denial, we realize I'm upset because inside of me is upset. And my mind will always find something to put it on as long as I'm in denial. And when I live in denial, I void my human life. I lose the opportunity to experience and live my life as the awesome presence of love that I was designed to live as. And so what we're working to introduce to everyone is the invitation to come out of your denial. Stop pretending that you're upset by anything in the world, because you're never upset by anything in the world. That's actually one of the wonderful lessons from A Course in Miracles. I'm not upset for the reason I think. My mind will always think up a reason. And there's no reason except that that particular quality of upset is within me. And if I choose to undo that particular quality of upset, then by forgiving or removing that upset, nothing to do with forgiving the person who triggered the upset, but if I realize that I have a particular quality of upset, it's my opportunity to let go of that quality of upset. And I get free because I've forgiven. So we invite everybody to substitute the word remove for forgive. And, you know, if you start drifting in the arena of the brainwash of the culture, and you're told about forgiving them, then just substitute the word remove. I remove them. Well, no, that isn't going to quite work. I removed myself. No, that isn't going to quite work. I apply forgiveness to remove literally any quality of upset that I hold within me. And then I get to return to the truth of who I am. And the truth of who you are, if you've forgotten or if you've never really figured that out, can be experienced by holding a newborn child. Or just remember, you know, it's a fun question to ask people, because especially when we're one-on-one, we're in an audience with, you know, a couple hundred people, and it's an interesting question. But one-on-one, when you look at somebody who's in the middle of their muddle and they're asking questions and they're trying to figure it out, and you say, do you remember the first time you held your son, your daughter? And you just watch their energy melt, the softness comes. It's an exciting question to ask people. And once you ask that question, then having the experience of the direct activity and action of love, you start to measure your life by, are you experiencing from that space everything that happens in your world? If you're not, then stored within your mind are energies that cover up or inhibit you from experiencing the truth of who you are. We haven't talked about carbon-based memory on the show in a while, and I just love that topic and recognizing that the ancient Aramaic language, which is the language of at least 6 of the world's major religions, not because it's a religious language, but because it understands the physics, the physiology, the genetics of how the world works. It's a physics language primarily, the Aramaic. And so when you look into that, you hear in particular one fellow named Paul, and of course he has a big challenge doing it. You know, Paul in the scriptures talks about all these wonderful, loving things, but then when the stress is up and the chips are down, what does Paul say? He says, why is it that the things I would do, I cannot do, and the things I would not do are what I do? Paul has not yet understood forgiveness as Yeshua taught it 2,000 years ago. Paul, in his writing, touches into an experience, but the experience of love does not change the content of your body's mind. That's your job. Nobody's going to take that away from you. And whatever's in there is yours to change should you choose to take on that project. And that's the project we're inviting people to do. So what is it that we're changing? Well, again, Paul says that the goal of the work is to be of like mind with Christ. And many people think that that word Christ is the name of a man. It is not the name of a man. The man was Yeshua of Nazareth, and he became known as the Christ, which is, in Aramaic, it's an office, and it actually, the word means the buttered one, the anointed one. They anointed people with oils, and so that's what that word means. And the reason they gave him that office or that title was because he lived in harmony with the mind of love, which is the mind of the Creator, or the mind of, when you recognize that that directive was given that God is love, or the understanding was given that the Creator is love, all the stuff that men have done in the name of God has nothing to do with God. If it is not about that pure, awesome presence of love that holds no animosity, no judgment, no hostility, no fear, absolutely no vengeance whatsoever. That's all the attributes of men projected into God. And I certainly understand why so many people have turned tail and run the other way from their churches and from the people who promote this fearsome God that's out to get them. No such creature exists. And when we live in that mind that was, as it was said in the religious language, or what we've been has been portrayed as religious, the mind of Christ, what's the alternative to that? Well, obviously, the alternative to the mind of Christ would be the Antichrist. And what is that? Well, again, we've been given a fear-based dogma that there's some sort of a critter out there that's out to get us. And it has a number, and its number is 666. That's the beast that's out to get us. Now, if, let's say we had a dozen people in a room, and we do something that all dozen people in the room agree is disturbing, painful, upsetting. You'll notice that one person out of the dozen may go into rage. The second person may go into fear. The third person may go into tears. The fourth into laughter. The fifth into escaping, getting up and running. Notice that each one has a different response to the event that they all say caused them to do whatever it is that they're doing. Fear, rage, guilt, grief, whatever it is. Obviously, if the event caused the response, everybody's response would be the same because the event was the same for everyone. So clearly, it is not the event that is the cause of what's happening in each mind. Each mind that observes this terrible thing happening says, it was a terrible thing and it made me, and then we've got the person who went to tears, the person who went to rage, the person who went to escape, the person who went to sadness, the person that went into fear, and on goes the list. Well, why are their responses unique and different? It is because the content of their body's minds is different. Each one has a different genetic experience. Each one has a different set of emotions within it. So the event triggers the content of the body's mind. Now, if you talk to a modern-day physiologist, they'll tell you that this body, this so-called body, has as its base element carbon. And so this device, carbon, stores information. We have memory. And so this memory is stored. Where is it stored? Why is each person's response unique? Because the content of each one's carbon-based memory is different. Now, ask a modern-day physiologist what carbon is made up of, and they'll tell you that it's made of 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons. What is the number of the beast? 666. It's the content of your own carbon-based memory system. Why do you turn when you say to someone, I love you and cherish you so much, and then you turn on a nasty energy toward them and give them the look? Why do you yell or scream or leave or escape or rage or guilt them or guilt yourself or go into fear? Only one reason, because in your carbon-based memory, there are those frequencies, and those are the frequencies that go against you. You know, how many times have you said to yourself, I am going to live lovingly with you from now on forevermore? And that's what you do, right? Until the next time they give you the look. And something in carbon-based memory that you have not yet removed, have not yet forgiven, resonates, takes over, and all of a sudden, against your own will, choice, and commitment, you're doing the exact opposite. Why? Because there is an enemy. And the enemy, Pogo said it really wonderfully, the enemy is us. It's our own carbon-based memory. Until we come out of that carbon-based memory as the control and the decision maker for our behaviors, we will be run by that beast. And if you look around at the world, 7.5 billion people, I think it's pretty clear that the majority are being run by that. And all of us, when the stress is really up and the chips are down, tend to go there. How do you change that response? I mean, I look back and I see my father acted like that, and my grandmother tells me that her husband, my grandfather, acted like that. And she tells me that she can remember his father's father acting like that. Why? Because these energetic patterns are literal energy fields that are stored in carbon-based memory in what are called genes. And the gene is a storage place for every energy and frequency that comes to it. And so when an energy enters into this system, it is stored holographically in every cell in the system, including the sperm and the egg. So were you to conceive a child tomorrow, that child would have in its structure every thought you've ever thought, every feeling you've ever felt, every reality you've ever engaged in. Letting somebody else off the hook for that is never going to change the content of carbon-based memory. The beast is not going to change itself. It remains for one with human attributes, and one of the human attributes, we talked about that yesterday, is choice. And choice is my ability to select among the frequencies stored in carbon-based memory how I choose to respond, or pardon me, to respond to a situation, or how I choose to introduce into that device something new, something that I really do want to be my response in a situation. Now, when you go back 2,000 years ago and you listen to Yeshua, and he says, and they say to him, well, you know, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is 7 enough? And Yeshua's response in Aramaic was, no, 77 times 70. Now, that's not a literal number. You know, don't start marking your worksheet 77 times 70, but rather it's speaking of you'll do an infinite amount of work around every issue of your bloodline and your genetics and your life until you're finished with that issue. So 7's a number of completion. 0 is infinity. 77 times 70, an infinite number of forgiveness processes until you're finished with the content of your carbon-based memory. And as we talked about yesterday, if you want to go through that door, there's a way to do it. You've got to go through the door. That's all there is to it. What the reality management worksheet that we're offering is a format, is a systematic way of going step by step through that door of forgiveness and removing what never belonged. In order to remove it, you've got to know it's there. Most people are totally oblivious and unconscious that the responses are within them. How do we know that? Well, just listen to their language. The person who lives in anger and rage never says, at least I haven't found too many of them that say, well, you know, I have a lot of anger and rage. What did they say? Harry made me angry. Mary Jane really, really enraged me. Charlie, boy, did he make me mad. And that's our definition of denial. When I speak about something outside of me as though it's the cause of something inside of me, I am in denial. And when I enter into denial, I relegate that which I am denying to my dissociated mind. I hide from myself the fact that what it is that I'm putting into carbon-based memory is mine. And in the future, it will come up whenever it's triggered into activity and tend to take over my behavior unless I've strengthened those faculties that we talked about yesterday as the faculties of being, the compassion, the willingness. And so this is what we're inviting everyone to step into. And I don't know if by any chance, is Mitzi with us by any chance? Jeannie, do you know? I tried to reach her earlier. No? Okay. Well, anyway, if Rex is on or Mitzi, Mitzi just posted a video on YouTube and has a link on her Facebook page, and you can go to our Facebook page to find it, the Why Is This Happening to Me Again page, and it's a link to a video that she created. You heard her a few weeks ago on the show talking about her experience of wondering about critical mass and her intuition feeding back to her that there were enough people on the planet if the presence of love could be synchronized to bring about the shift on the planet that it would take to produce that active presence of love, bringing about a mass change in the world. And so she's done a beautiful video. You can go to whyagain.org or to our Facebook site, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and catch the link and take a look at that video. Set your clock, set your alarm on your phone for the day and date. It's actually April 22nd at, I forget what time, I think it's 1800 hours on the 22nd of April, which is Earth Day. So set your alarm, go take a look at it, watch that video. She's really done a beautiful job of it and put together some really excellent information to back up her thesis that we can change the game. And so we invite you to go and do that. And in the meantime, if you want to access the forgiveness process, which will empower you to go into a sustained state of the presence of love, then we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link, or actually in the center of the page, you'll see a bullseye. Click the bullseye, and the bullseye will give you a series of tools, step by step, lead you into how to engage in the forgiveness process. And so we invite you to come and play and share it with us and become part of the critical mass that makes the shift on the planet. In the meantime, let's say hello to Dr. Tim. And I know you did a support group last night because I happened to talk to you right in the middle of it. And is there anything to share about that, Dr. Tim?
Yes, there is a lot to share. Unfortunately, in order to share, really to get the sharing, you would have to go to your own support group. You know, I was thinking about this ever since it happened last night and just wondering, what words could I use in the limited amount of time we have to help, as Michael would say, build the brain cells for people so they could even begin to understand how powerful this was last night? And I don't think there are any. But my attempt at it would be to say we had several people we had 14 total last night, and we watched the second half of the older version of codependence to interdependence, and it stirred up a lot of things for people. I realized as I was watching the video with these people that several of them have seen it two or three times now, and their responses are dramatically different than they were when they first saw the video, because it's sinking in at deeper levels, they're connecting it to their relationships differently, and that bore itself out in the discussion. And then we had somebody who volunteered to do a worksheet, and that was a very useful worksheet and a nice example of the Hydra effect, where a variety of different issues came up as he was trying to resolve the one issue he started that worksheet with. So we made notes for him so he could keep track of all the different issues that had come up in future worksheets he could do. And then we had somebody who's been coming to the group for months and who has been very frustrated with the pattern, which is that prior to last night, every time she did a worksheet, she ended up feeling worse at the end of it rather than better. And despite the fact that we had a lot of people in the group trying to support her through that process and get her to understand that that's normal, a lot of us have had that,
And if she keeps at it, she's likely to start to see the benefits, and the many worksheets she's done leading up to that point will be the actual foundation for the worksheet when it does finally produce positive results for her. And last night she offered at the end of the group that was the first worksheet she'd ever done where she felt better at the end of it. And the energy in the room was, you know, very clear that her energy was different, and it resonated with a bunch of people in the room who've been through the same thing. And then there was another person in the group last night who offered a testimonial. And her testimonial was that for the past 6 weeks, she has chosen to read the commitment to her husband. And he doesn't read it back to her, but she reads it to him and he listens. And her statement was, it has transformed their relationship on all levels. And she was smiling, and she talked about how for the first time in a long, long time, they went out and played racquetball together recently. They've done it twice now. So it was a delightful sharing. It was a delightful energy of healing. And there aren't really words to describe it, but that's my first attempt.
Well, I hear you loud and clear, and that's actually a good way to say it, is that until people have that experience of moving into their work, it really is unspeakable. It's just amazing, and oftentimes people will go and try to speak of it, but the words are always inadequate. So I hear that one loud and clear. That's awesome, Dr. Tim, and I'm glad that I just happened to call in at the right minute to catch you on the intermission to say hello. And fact that you've, how many years is this now you've had that group going, Tim?
I think we've passed our eight-year mark. We're into the ninth year.
That's awesome. And many people say, well, you know, I tried to start a support group, but only two people were coming. What would your response be to that?
Well, if I had quit when that was the case, I probably wouldn't have gotten past the first 3 years, because there were clearly times when either I was the only one who showed up, and then I would just watch a video myself and do a worksheet or two and then leave, or there was one other person there. And what I would say to that is, those people, to a one, will tell you, when they showed up and I was the only other one there, that was one of the best sessions we ever had. My sharing, their sharing, getting to deeper level and things. So it doesn't take 14 or 27 people to have a successful group. It takes one person who's willing to show up and hold the space, and one or two others who join them, and the magic happens.
Absolutely. Well, I certainly appreciate your dedication and your gift to the community there, that you've stuck to that and kept it moving. It's one of the longest-running support groups on the globe, and we certainly are delighted and excited that Terry Bowling is starting a support group in Asheville, North Carolina next week. I don't know whether he sent us the information or not, but whether it's on the website yet, but it's on Facebook, and there are support groups that are starting to move on deeper and deeper levels all over the globe. So we invite you to tap in and look at the website. Look on whyagain.org. You'll see a link to support groups. There's a lot of information for some of what it takes, some input and advice on how to start and how to keep a support group going, keep it on track. And thank you, Jeannie, for what you put on there and everybody else who's contributed to it. So awesome.
I would just want to add that this was coming to me last night and today. One of the things that came up in the discussion last night was a question about the difference between deciding something and exercising choice. And as we were answering that and people were talking about the commitment and how it's a personal code that can be given to the PAGRA, a couple different things happened. One of them was, In the discussion, we were able to clarify for people how the spiritual faculties, they're there, we each have access to them, and they need to be exercised to strengthen them. They're like any other muscle. If they're not used, they can atrophy. And so we were able to help people begin to think about, as you talk about in the lecture, as you apply these tools, you literally build and strengthen your spiritual faculty of will and your spiritual faculty of choice, and people started to get a better handle on it, that when something gets resonated in me and I act directly from that resonance, that's deciding something, that's acting reflexively. If I'm able to develop my capacity to step back and watch what's been resonated in me and choose to breathe and withhold that reflexive reaction and then choose to focus on love and develop a response based in love, that's exercising my will and choice. And then when we were talking about the PAGRA as a third entity that develops, or a separate entity that develops when two or more people get together and form a relationship, and how that PAGRA will develop its own personal code by default if you don't create consciously create a personal code. And the word that came up for me last night was to practice with that personal code until it becomes infused into the PAGRA. And it becomes the default operating system for when difficulties arise and how to deal with things in loving moments. And it really, when that word infusion came in and I was thinking about it as I was driving home last night, I was struck with the difference between being a scuba diver and being a fish. And spiritually speaking, my goal is to be in this work so much that I'm no longer just a scuba diver in this spiritual work, that I've infused myself, surrounded myself with it so much that it's my natural, it's where I live, it's what I breathe, it's as you talk about it in the scriptures say, that it is God, love, is what I live, breathe, and have my grounded experience in. And it just takes the practice. It takes the practice. It takes the commitment. And I acknowledge you're welcome when you thank me for doing this work and holding the space. And I can honestly tell you, I'm doing it for the most selfish of all possible reasons. I get the benefit. So you're welcome, and I'm doing it very selfishly.
Awesome. Well, it's certainly a gift to give, and appreciation, and carry on. The other thought that comes as you talk about the discussion around decide and choice. Can't hear me.
Michael, I
the other thing that comes to mind when you talk about decision versus choice is if you look at that word decide, its root side means to cut off from. And when one lives out of carbon-based memory, they're cut off from the possibility of something new coming into their worlds, which means they are stuck in a replicate world. The mind just replicates situations and behaviors that keeps the same old pattern going. And choice being the ability to bring in something new. And if one lives in this carbon-based memory system, then they are cut off from the ability to do something new and different. And, you know, how many times have we known people who said, you know, that kid, he acts just like his grandfather. I mean, he looks the same, he walks the same, he puts his hands on his hips the same, his voice is the same, and he does the same behaviors. That's the replicate mind. That's carbon-based memory. You look at the research that's been done in the arena of
twins who've been separated at birth, didn't even know each other existed. And the number of things in their lives, once they reconnect, are identical. And yes, carbon-based memory tries to run the show and cut us off from creatorship, which is the ability to introduce something new to the mind. And so that's what we're here to support and empower, is the ability to do something new. So Jeannie tells us that tells me that we've got a caller or two. So let's say hello to, and we've got Breakthrough Wednesday and 954. And Jeannie says she thinks it's Dora. Is that you, young lady?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, everybody. For our Unstuck Breakthrough.
Awesome.
Wednesday.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Two things. I have a friend who's very conscious and very spiritual. And you know, she knows about the Michael Rice sheets, but I never talk about the Wednesday calls. She told me the other day she believes that many of us are on the planet right now so we can become unstuck and break through our issues to become as conscious as possible for whatever the future is holding for us. I'm saying, okay, this
awesome.
Is a good thing. Yes, yes. So I was, I was impressed with that. And then another thing, this just happened here in the office. There's another company here, too, and the building is pretty large. And I was in the restroom, and there was a guy over there very yelling and screaming and very, very angry and hateful. I stood there because I could hear him clearly. It was like a knife came through and just pierced me. With that hate and anger, I felt that if I was in that room, I could have hurt him easily. I just had to get out of the room and leave. I got out of the restroom as quick as I could and just got away from there. But it was like I just froze. And brought up a side of me is like, oh, my gosh. Just hearing his words was enough to trigger that in me, which is what I've been working on.
Right.
So
what
and
a gift.
Yes, most definitely. And I noticed the more sheets I do, because I did the Mind Shifter over the weekend, I did breathing, I did more sheets, just brings up more issues at a deeper level. And I just keep saying thank you. I keep thanking my angels, I keep thanking Rukka Dakusha, and I write letters now just saying thank you, because the more I do, the more the deeper it goes. And today
yes,
was definitely, go ahead.
Awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, one of the reasons why, first of all, I think the work has been lost down through the years is because that's the depth one has to go to. And it takes time to comprehend that that's possible. And so many people are cut off from that possibility because they've already got predetermined ideas in carbon-based memory. They bought something that isn't true, and they replace the availability of truth, which is just waiting to come in, with carbon-based memory. They're cut off from the access to truth because the mind, just with its rote machine, just keeps the same old things going. And the depth at which you're going, and, you know, just for those who are new to the show, I think in January it was 3 years, right, that you were first introduced to the worksheet process and forgiveness?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in 3 years and you're noticing a whole new depth and a whole new level of your work. And that's what it takes. People have to hang around long enough to see that and to comprehend that. And it doesn't become experience until one's done a significant amount of work and has that direct experience. So thank you for sharing that. That's pretty cool.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Okay, well, I hope everybody has a good week, and we'll talk to you all next week.
All right, it's in the plan. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Have a blessed one.
You too, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So, Jeannie, you've got another caller?
Yeah,
970, you're on the air. Where are you calling from? Give us a name.
Hey, Michael and everyone, it's Carrie in Florida.
Hi, Carrie.
But usually Colorado. Yeah.
Sometimes Michigan.
Sometimes Michigan, yep. Floating around planet Earth right now. I just, a couple of things. I'm so God, excited, enthusiastic, and really everything you and Dr. Tim was talking about, and that was a great introduction. I was just right in alignment with it. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for your consistency in continuing these programs and for the entire group who are connected, who are emerging into this level of consciousness where there really is a body. I feel like I gain, and every time I come on the show, I haven't been on a lot lately. I'm still finishing up getting this book re-edited, and I'm very close, but I feel like I always get fed when I come and I just hear anything about anyone who's in process here, and it nourishes my thought, my capability of communicating these things, and I feel connected. I guess I don't know if you'd call it a pagra, but my favorite saying is where two or more are gathered, that we create a stronger field of consciousness. And I am ending up in these circles, these global circles that are, it's just amazingly mind-blowing. The level of conversation I'm having with people who are really out on the front lines in consciousness, and this is literally all I talk about. My contribution is always the foundations of this work. And it's so exciting because a lot of these people are close, but they haven't had these principles presented before. And I'm learning, of course, every time I talk, I'm learning more because I'm having to deepen my own experience. And God, I'm just so excited. An example, I'm in some groups that are very large, and I've been invited into inner circles. I've been invited to be interviewed on radio shows lately, which I had put out to the universe a few months ago that I would start sharing my book through radio shows, and I haven't even gone to look. I'm on 3 radio shows this week, and I'm getting invited.
Awesome.
A gentleman who I ended up meeting he just retired as the ambassador of the UN to the Ukraine and to Mongolia, and he's actually in Costa Rica. He's near Victoris. He's going to visit Victoris City, and he's taking him the couple pages in my book where I wrote about Victoris in the book, because I used to be connected with him. And this guy has messaged me a few times in the last week and said, oh, this is terrible, what's going on in Ukraine. And he's really in this awakening process. And I said, look, what you need to do is go inside, clear out your own resonance that has fear, anger, hatred out, so that you can hold the resonance of love in relationship to the situation. And he's checked back in with me a couple of times to ask about the process, and I've reminded him. And so there's somebody that's moving forward and making these shifts, who has such a powerful connection to what's going on in that country. And I'm just amazed. I'm excited.
Awesome.
I'm humbled at where I'm getting drawn to share these principles. And I just wanted to kind of pass that on. And just
that's
the
fabulous
gratitude.
And I'd invite you to put this gentleman in touch with us and let him know that Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, 9 till 1 o'clock, we're doing a free open Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop here in San Jose. So he's welcome to come and join us Saturday morning. That'd be awesome.
How far? He's right near where Victoris is. I think, is he a couple hours from you or something?
Yeah, he's probably about 3 hours away.
Yeah,
if he lives out there, he probably comes into San Jose periodically to shop and do those sorts of things. So who knows? If it fits, that would be fabulous.
I will let him know. Cool. So I just
wanted
to say thank you. I mean, really, I see where I am really carrying this out on a broader scale into the world, and I have so much gratitude every day for the work you guys have done and everybody in this circle, or I don't want to call it a circle, just a field of awareness, because it strengthens, encourages, and inspires me. So thank you.
Well, we're here to strengthen, encourage, and inspire you, and thank you for being on our team, and we're delighted to be on yours.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, you guys have a great day, and we'll catch you soon.
All right. Have a blessed one. We appreciate you. And that's Carrie Ellis, who's the author of 21st Century Superhuman.
which you can find on her website, carrieellis.com, or you can order from Amazon. If you're still there, Carrie, what's the best way for somebody to order the book?
Really, Amazon is probably the best way right now. I also, if they want to go to, I have a Facebook page, which is 21st Century Superhuman on Facebook, the number 21ST Century Superhuman, 21st Century Superhuman on Facebook. And there's actually a coupon code there where they can get $12 off the paperback, and they can order it from my publisher. Uh-huh. And so that's one of the really easy ways. My websites are still being worked on. That's been my probably nemesis, but it's getting close. So it's a powerful book. I call it the breadcrumb trail to really comprehending how to implement all of this and what's going on. We're really approaching an evolutionary leap called the shift of the ages. And this is a really quantum physics, ancient texts, and cosmic influences are key and kind of, we're all moving that direction. It's almost like there's no stopping it. Riding the ninth wave of the Mayan calendar. So it's really exciting.
It is exciting, and we just love the association that we have with so many people, just so many people around the globe who are moving the world in the direction of a more conscious way of living and acting, and, looking at what you're doing and then what Mitzi's just doing with this YouTube video that's posted on our website or on our Facebook page, just what Dr. Tim is doing, what Michelle is. I mean, there's just so many people. Rex is in this prison every week with Michelle, working with super high security, basically a punishment prison in Ionia, Michigan. And they're going in there every week. And here are these guys who are locked away literally for 25 years to life, and they're talking about loving each other. They're talking about creating peace within the prison. They're working on forgiveness work. It's so cool and so amazing.
Awesome.
All right. We appreciate you. Have a blessed one.
Hey, you too.
Carrie Ellis, 21st Century Superhuman. Check out her Facebook page. So, say it again, Jeannie. Area code 607. You're on the air. Give us a name. Is this Richard?
Yeah, it's Richard. I just wanted to two things I
hey,
wanted to
Hey, I
talk.
Wrote a book about you.
I know you did. I'm still dealing with it. No. anyway, it's great. I mean, your work is, when I read the book and initially it had the character Richard in there, it was like, hey, this is me. I can see myself in this a lot, and I really need to learn this work. And anyway, I just wanted to comment on what you guys were talking about this morning, starting with what Tim talked about. And what I'm finding, I talked about this a little bit yesterday, this generational pattern is in me, and realized again, this is a generational pattern. But what I'm finding is that if I just wait out the feelings, my first initial reaction, whatever that feeling is, which is, like this, I don't know how to describe it other than, this energy going through my body, which is very, I just don't know how to describe that energy other than I feel this energy go through my body, which before it would upset me. I didn't want to feel it, And then the next day I'd feel this
right.
feeling, this feeling of wanting, this gut reaction feeling of wanting to respond somehow, which, it's coming from my gut, And then if I wait till the third day, then I can usually respond from peace rather than from either of those other two feelings, Usually by that time, the emotional stuff has coursed through me, and I'm able to respond from a peaceful place rather than from either one of those two feelings. So anyway, I just wanted to comment.
77 times, 70 sheets.
What's that?
Say 77 times 70 worksheets.
Yeah, I know. Just keep working on it. I understand. And that's why, I'm finally reaching a place where I'm, I still consider myself a beginner in some respects. But obviously I've advanced somewhere along the way.
I hear you, and I acknowledge the work that you're doing. You know, you've been working on developing this way of growing food, your a structure for growing food. That's an awesome contribution. The movement work, the conscious movement work you're doing with people is so cool and such a support. I just appreciate sharing the planet with you too.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the support. But the other question I had was regarding your Facebook page. Is that a group that, you know, like I know I'm involved with three different groups that's sort of like a closed group that is, you can get be part of it through an invite. Is that how your Facebook page is working? I'm just questioning how it's actually operating. I know I have access to it. I didn't know whether it was whether it's a page that is where people are invited to be a part of the group.
No, anybody can send a friend request. It's open. You know, I'm just getting involved. I haven't been involved in Facebook. It was about a week the first time I've been on Facebook and posted to it. I've been kind of drawn into it, dragged into it, kicking and screaming. So I don't know that much about it. But as far as I know, anybody who, you know, it's like any other a person on Facebook, just send a friend request and be part of it. There's nothing closed about it. We're looking to take it to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So that's where we're heading.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to clarify what it was, because I know there's certain groups that, you know, they're only in a certain group, it's only people that are practicing a certain technique or whatever. So, yeah, and I understand in your situation, you want everybody practicing this work, so might as well be open, right? Okay, well,
yeah.
That's all. You answered my question.
Yeah, the group is limited to 7.5. The group is... The last time I checked, the group is limited to 7.5 billion people.
7.5 billion people. There you go. Okay. Well, thanks for answering my questions. Have a great day.
All right, sir. Have a blessed one. Okay. Lots
Bye-bye.
Of love. Take care. Bye-bye. Jeannie, you've got another caller for us. We've got about 10 minutes left. Area code 765. You're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Michael. This is Sunny from Indiana.
Hey there, young lady. How do you be?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great, actually, all things considered. Last time that I was able to get on, you were offering something, and the lines were so distorted I could not hear what it was you were saying, and we didn't get to finish on that particular instance. But earlier in the show today, you had said something about cutoff, and... that's kind of not in a negative way where I have found myself. And just really this work is the only thing that is really kind of holding me together other than, you know, Rex has been available a couple of times for just a few short moments to support me. And as far as my starting a support group here, until I get through whatever this is I'm going through, I'm not even going to be able to get to town to do that, Michael. I'm kind of enjoying this space, and I wondered if there was a mind shifter or something that I might be overlooking, because it's kind of a space of ashram with, I don't know if the worksheet process has opened up this space that I find myself in now. We could equate it with poverty, if you will. I know that my generations and the contact I have with my family is largely on Facebook, if you can believe that. But anyone I've ever been related to, they are not enjoying the fruits of their labors or celebrating the kingdom much. And I'm not really triggered by this, Michael. I can't say that I accept it because I know the difference, but I am finding myself in acceptance of it and trusting the process, if that makes sense. I don't know where my denial is or if this is something genetic that really is mine in all of my generations to be the breakthrough. And with never having many of the workshops or...
Well,
you know, the support groups to really reflect. I don't think I'd be bad by myself here.
let me see if I can sort of put together, because you've left in several areas that for me at this moment are disconnected. Am I hearing you say that you're feeling disconnected from the people around you? Is that the bottom line of it?
That has become the reality of it, in all truism. 12 miles
okay.
from town. No
and you're
vehicle.
Okay with that?
I'm not fighting it. I know that if I, you know, the obvious response would be, oh, my goodness, and run, go, 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 chase a change. And I do my part. I reach out. I make every effort to very calmly, rationally, realistically network my doing what I do for a living, and nothing's moving. So I guess I'm finding myself, maybe I'm just in the acceptance of trusting this process, because unless I do get triggered and all bent and twisted out of shape, nothing seems to want to move. And I know that's not going to do the cells in my body any good. I don't know that it will change anything. You know, I don't know what I'm overlooking.
Well, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you for recognizing that a hostile response won't serve you and that you're moving more toward peace. That's a big piece of work. A mind shift that I'd suggest you work with would be, it's safe and healing for me to become fully aware of why and how. Are you with me so far?
Yeah, I'm writing. Why
okay.
and how?
Why and how I cut myself off from people. And for those who aren't familiar with the mind shifter process, you take if that statement resonates something in you, we suggest you take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, you write that thought and then just do a free flow. Make sure the phones are turned off, the TV's off, you're in your own space, totally quiet. Take 2 hours and just write that mind shifter and write every thought, every feeling. You know, if you're writing it and you get a pain in your big toe, make a note on the right-hand side of the page, I got a pain in my big toe. If I'm feeling frustrated, make a note for frustrated. If I'm feeling peaceful, I feel peaceful. You'll just go through and sort of do a brain dump. Just let everything that resonates in you come out on the page, and you'll probably tap into some places where there are worksheets to do, there's maybe some responsibility communication, there are places where you could use the commitment, you know, the whole series of tools that we've made available. And so as you take a couple of hours to do a brain dump with that as the trigger, as the resonating factor, then look at where to apply each of the other tools that you've learned from us and or any other tools that you have in your life and move through it.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I am
down to about 30 seconds.
I am going to go ahead and work with this, Michael, but I kind of, as I shared with Rex, my purpose, I know I can chase my tail pretending to do whatever I want to do for a living, but until I'm doing my purpose, I it's been very clear. And that includes you in my world. So we'll get together further on this. I know you've got to wrap up the show. God bless you.
All right. Have a blessed one. Lots of love. And everybody, we appreciate you being with us. Check out our Facebook page. We've got some new posts up there. And we thank you, Magda, for posting the archives of the show, the notes on the archives. We are very appreciative of that. And everybody, do yourself and the world a favor. Give them the best gift you can possibly give them. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving.
continuously.